Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, our topic is going to be very interesting to the human resource world. It's about CHROs and your roadmap to move from head of HR to being your CEO's valued business advisor. Our guests are going to be Larry Steibel, CEO and co-founder of Steibel Peabody, and Patrick Lynch, president of the Frontier Group. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guests are the one and only Pat Lynch, president of the Frontier Group, and Larry Steibel, CEO and co-founder of Steibel Peabody. Gentlemen, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, you know, you guys have been doing a lot of research lately and talking with chief human resource officers. And this research has been predominantly focused on why CEOs and CHROs work well together and how that relationship comes about. So, Larry, if you could kind of go over, you know, where this idea came from, where exactly the process was, and how you put this all together, give us kind of an outline. I would truly appreciate that as we begin the show.
Sure, Dave. Glad to do that. Well, you, Dave, Pat in Atlanta, and I, we do coaching work with chief HRO officers, and we've done that for years. We have noticed that, you know, some CHROs really click with their CEOs and become more than heads of HR functions, but they become valued business advisors. And many HR people never have that click. And we wanted to really investigate what are the qualities that make that relationship work. And we call it the journey. And it's the journey from being head of a business function to the head of to being the CEO's valued business advisor. We've started with chief HRO officers. We're also now doing work with general counsels as well. But let me start with the beginning. We needed an operational definition for a valued business advisor. And so the operational definition was to ask CEOs the following question. On a scale of 0 to 10, I consider my CHRO a valued business advisor. If the CEO gave the HR person 8 or higher, we then interviewed the CEO and then we interviewed the CHRO to see what is it about that relationship, what is it about those people that are so special, and what did we learn that could help HR people who are currently in the job market or HR people that are currently employed and wishing to make the journey to becoming the CEO's valued business advisor.
So you took the initiative by going to this, you know, to the CEO and basically asking first, you know, how trusted of an advisor is this person to you, correct?
How trusted of a business advisor? Yeah. We wanted to look at those HR people that are seen as valued business advisors, not just heads of functions. So we want to make that really clear.
So, Pat, as you thought about this process, as you became involved in this process, you know, did you find that the CEOs that you spoke to, and maybe you can talk in generalities of this, really found that most were in the 8 or 9 or 10 category? Or tell me about the overall scope, if you could, Pat.
Sure, Dave. The interesting thing is that when CEOs did see their CHRO, head of human resources, as a value advisor, you see that way more often with more enterprise-level Fortune 100 firms. give you a couple names of firms I talked to were Home Depot Supply, Blue Links, which used to be part of George Pacific, and Kimberly-Clark. And in all those cases, the what you saw would be that the CEO had, you know, he valued that input that he would get from the CHRO. In talking, what you see then is if you get to, you know, smaller organizations, that's that challenge that many of the CHROs have in that journey. It's how to get away from just being seen as that functional head and it's almost in a way a definition now of world-class organizations that where they really see the importance of HR and where it fits in driving the overall strategy. And so this it's a perfect bond, perfect union with the CEO and CHRO. And now I think what's an interesting insight that came out of what Larry and I did is if you're trying to give coaching guidance to kind of that next lower tier of organizations, here's something that they could do to pattern themselves after these organizations to kind of really kind of improve the overall organization effectiveness.
So when you were talking to CEOs, Larry, as well as to what Pat says, do you find that there were one or two specific traits or specific trends that were ideally suited for a CHRO to help the CEO on?
Yeah, there are, Dave. And let me talk about it in two ways. First is when you have a job candidate, let's say a CHRO job candidate interviewing for a job. And then the second scenario is going to be you have an incumbent CHRO who is dealing with a brand new CEO who's just come on the scene. So these are two different contexts. So let me deal first with the job candidate who is looking to join a company. The most important finding in our survey is that openness to new ideas is the critical factor. There's something in psychologists called the big five personality factors, and one of those big five personality factors is called openness to new experiences. If the CEO is open to new experiences, and if the CHRO is open to new experiences, there's a reasonably high probability the relationship is going to go really well and the HR person will be able to make the journey to a valued business advisor. If one or both of those parties are relatively closed to new experiences, it's not going to happen. So the first practical advice for the job candidate in HR is really do an assessment on yourself. It could be a look in the mirror, or if you're using an outplacement firm, you know, use one of the sort of personality assessment tools that HR firms that do outplacement provide, and understand how open are you to new ideas, really? We all think we are, but how open are we, really? If you are open to new ideas, then you can make the journey. And if you're not, don't bother. And a lot of HR people are not. So that's point number one. Point number two is when you are a candidate, do your due diligence on the person who is going to be your boss, the CEO, and really ask people, give me examples of how this person is open to new ideas and innovation and new ways of doing things. And if people can't come up with a story, that should give you kind of an indication that this is not going to happen. So that's
on the interviewing side.
That's on the interviewing side. Now let's look at the other side. Now you're the CHRO and you've been in the job for a number of years and a new CEO has come aboard. The worst thing that you can do in the initial conversation is to talk about HR. That's the worst thing you can do. because it, you know, my mother and your mother had a saying, you know, you'd never get a second chance to make a good first impression. And so if your first conversation is all about HR, you get stereotyped as you're the HR person. On the other hand, if you are the new CEO and you're coming aboard, and let's say you're in one of Pat's large public companies, as the CHRO, you have dealt with the executive, the compensation committee of the board of directors. Usually there are 7 to 9 people on a board of directors. That statistically means there are 3 core committees: compensation, audit, and nominating and governance committees. So every board member is going to be at least on 2 committees. So if you've been CHRO working with the executive committee of the board, the comp committee of the board of directors, over 3 or 4 years, you will have met everybody on the board. You'll have an opinion about everybody on the board. And if your first conversation with the CEO is about, let me tell you about some of the board members you're going to be dealing with, and let me, then you're immediately coming across as, I'm going to help you manage this board. So that's the right way to deal with this. You know, in your area in Maine, you know, there are not a lot of large Fortune 500 public companies, but there are a lot of family businesses. And when you get to second and third generation family businesses, it gets very complex to figure out who's who, because you can't go by last name anymore. And it can be very politically tricky. So if the first conversation the incumbent HR person has with the new CEO is, let me give you a roadmap for who's who in this company in terms of the family, then your first step is to be an advisor or coach of how do you negotiate leadership in a family-dominated business. So the first meeting is very important. Again, as my mother said, you don't get a second chance to make a good first impression.
So I think one of the things that is key here, when you really break this down a little bit, and we're going to talk more about it as the show continues here, but is really looking at how to be a business partner, not just an HR professional. And Pat, one of the things that you mentioned in this conversation, in the previous conversation as we had in regards to us talking offline, is that you really need to have a background experience to best prepare you to be a strategic leader. What is some of that background?
Yeah, in the conversations I had, there was no prescribed like path to become a strategic advisor. But one thing I did notice that with these top-level CHROs that I talked with, that almost every one of them had some meaningful experience outside of HR. And even the ones that did not, they were inquisitive and curious enough that they really got to understand the business outside of their functional area. And it's important because if you think of, you know, now you're reporting to the top person in an organization and you want to talk strategy, you know, where is your legitimacy? Where, you know, in terms of that you are now skilled and able to do that. And what these individuals told me is that, yes, this is where I all my business background would help me become obviously a better HR person, more well-rounded, and now I can really give that full-scale perspective almost the same way that a CEO would. And the path was, every person is a different path. Some came from one particular functional area and then made a career pivot. Another that was interesting was the woman that heads Kimberly Clark spent a number of years in mills, in operations, where, you know, that's traditionally a male-dominated area, and she really learned, all the various operational issues. So then, when you come up into a mill-driven organization like Kimberly Clark, you know, she can hold her own with everybody. So it was one of them that, you know, you really become that that go-to person, because you can cover people, which is essential. You can cover strategy across the wide organization, and it's something that that the CEO will appreciate. Kind of that holistic 360 view that a really well experienced, well trained CHRO can provide.
Yeah, and if I may to support this, let me give you a specific example. I've got an engineering organization I've been working with for about 10 years, and I've been working with the CEO and the chief HRO officer, and he's had in that time three chief HRO officers. Two of them came from fairly traditional HR backgrounds. In other words, they started in one discipline like compensation and benefits or organization development or affirmative action, and then they became generalists, and then they became heads of functions. I would say the CEO tolerated them and only thought of them in terms of HR. The most recent CHRO that he has is someone who was educated as an engineer and then went into HR. And just because she was educated as an engineer and has an untypical background, his attitude towards her is totally different. He views her as someone who, quote-unquote, gets it. Well, the reality is she gets it as well or as poorly as the others. But because the boundary lines are blurred, the CEO really appreciates that. And one very practical thing that you can do as an HR person if you come from a traditional background is do what you need to do to try to blur the backgrounds. So maybe spend some time on the phones watching people doing inbound marketing. Maybe spend one day doing inbound marketing yourself. Go on sales calls with the salesperson. Spend some time on the factory floor actually watching people do their work. Attend meetings of manufacturing people. Get your, start blurring the boundaries. And one very practical implication that this has is CEOs like blurred boundaries. But a lot of the HR professional associations are advocating clarity of boundaries through the certification process. So, one of the implications of our study is that maybe in the beginning of an HR career, it might be nice to get certified. Maybe not. I don't know. But as you move up in your career, the more you get certified, the worse it could actually be for you. You might be better off spending time taking a course on manufacturing or quality or cybersecurity to try to blur the HR boundaries rather than clarify the HR boundaries. I think that's one practical implication for young HR people in this study.
We're talking with Larry Stiebel, co-founder and CEO of Stiebel Peabody, Patrick Lynch, president of the Frontier Group. We're talking about chief human resource officers and your roadmap to move from head of HR to also being your CEO's valued business partner. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Please make sure that you're following us on HRPowerHour.com or go to our Facebook page, HR Power Hour. So I am talking with today Pat Lynch, president of the Frontier Group, and Larry Stiebel, CEO, co-founder of Stiebel Peabody. We're talking about Chief Human Resource Officers, or CHROs, and your roadmap to move from head of HR to also being your CEO's valued business partner. My two colleagues here have done some research. They're going to be producing this research and publishing it. So where is it published, Larry?
It was published last month in Psychology Today.
Okay, and where can people get that online if they were to Google for it?
Just go to your favorite search engine and type Psychology Today Journey, and J-O-U-R-N-E-Y, and that should take you to it.
Perfect. We'll also put the link on hrpowerhour.com after the show, and you can go to that, and it will take you directly to it. So you have a lot of research that you've done. It's an interesting article. You talk a little bit about the methodology you used and the questions you asked and how you got to this point of, you know, asking executive officers whether or not that they were a valued strategic partner. Pat, if you could, tell me a little bit what type of strategic relationships that, you know, that senior team, that CEO really is looking for, so that when HR people are thinking about what is that I need to do and have that relationship, what should it look like? What was some of the research you found out?
Well, what you have as far as the strategic relationships, it was interesting that the CHROs that are best positioned to be that strategic advisor, you know, that have made this journey, are the ones where they're almost the first go-to person for the CEO when they have a question. And a lot of questions, it is interestingly enough, is that they center around people and why, you know, as far as questions about, succession planning, questions about what kind of approach we should take in this particular situation, who are the right people to help us on this particular initiative. And these CHROs have a unique perspective in that they understand all of the various departmental areas, the people involved, the leaders, the managers, the individual contributors. And so then what they have is that they got this 360 well-rounded view that they can provide the CEO in terms of what to do next.
When, Larry, you were talking to CEOs and they were saying that, hey, you know, this person is a trusted advisor to me, this person is someone who I can go to for business answers, not just HR answers, which I think is a very important, relevant part. You know, I just want to segue for a second to say that, you know, HR people have been saying for years they want a quote-unquote seat at the table. And I know some HR professionals out there are a little bit, you know, have heard that and get tired of that language. But what they're really saying is they want a shot at making a difference at a business level. And yet, it doesn't happen that often. So as you spoke to the CEOs, Larry, what were some of the things that they said, hey, these are the things that really I'm not seeing or I am seeing?
David, we want to really focus on the positive stuff, so we didn't get into the sort of negative, this is what I'm not seeing. I will comment on two things. One is relationships, organization relationships and physical relationships. First, on the organizational relationships, I think Pat would agree that everybody that we talked to that was a valued advisor to the CEO reported directly to the CEO. In no case did we ever find a chief HRO officer who was a valued business advisor who did not report to the CEO. So this is important in small to medium-sized companies where the CEO might say to the HR person, why don't you report to the CFO, but I'll still take you seriously. No, that's not going to happen. If you're going to be taken seriously as a valued business advisor, you have to report directly to the CEO. So that's one issue. The second issue is a physical issue. What I've found is a number of the people that we interviewed had their offices right next door or within two doors of the CEOs, or was just physically around. So what would happen was the CEO would get out of the office to go down to talk to someone, and he passes by the HR person's office, and then he goes in and says, "This is what I'm planning to do. What do you think?" And the physical proximity was very, very important. And this sometimes happens in mid to large-sized companies. HR may have their own space. I call it the HR island. And that space might be on another floor. And I consider that bad news. And you could get lost on HR Island and get too insular on HR Island. So, for example, I'm working now with a CHRO officer at a university. She's on the third floor, and the CEO's on the 13th floor of the building. However, next to the CEO's office is an empty conference room that is usually empty. It's only used for, you know, meetings with the CEO. At my suggestion, she's gotten out of her office, and when that conference room is empty, she's there, she's got her mobile device, she's got her laptop, she's doing her work in the conference room, and when the CEO is going out to talk to somebody else, there she is in the conference room, and he goes in and he starts talking to her about his day, and he starts talking about that he's just going to have this meeting, what does she think about his approach. So we find physical proximity is a very important attribute.
That goes back to the old adage, if it's seen, right? You're seen, you have a better opportunity to be heard.
Yeah, you've got to be seen. And one of the things that happens in HR is that if you're on a different floor, in a different area, it may be very cozy to be with your HR team, but it's not going to help you gain visibility and trust by the CEO.
Pat, did any of the CEOs or any of the CHROs, when you spoke to them, talk about, the ability to make sure as an HR person that you are socially adaptive? Now, there are HR professionals that can be introverted in some ways, and that's fine. Introversion, extroversion is how people are at times, but people can move past those. How important was it really that somebody was outgoing, sociable, talkative? How important was that?
Extremely. To reach a senior level in an organization, you have to have a very adaptive personality. Many times, the stereotype is that only the extroverts are the ones that ascend, and we all know that's not true, and that there are introverts that can be quite successful, and there's great examples of them out there, like a Bill Gates. And the thing is that they have adaptive personalities, and that they're not going to just stay in their office and not engage with people. They know when to engage on their terms, how to work with people. And that applies to any successful CHRO as well, so that they, if they're in a Myers-Briggs profile, if they're extroverted, well, then it's much easier for them, obviously, to go out and interact with people. But the flip side of that is they may not be the best listener in the world. And so then you get somebody that's a little more introverted but can flip the switch, well, then that can help them as well. So it's a lot of this, as far as being adaptive, is how these CHROs are able to make this journey. One thing I also want to bring up that came up in my discussions is how important it is for CHROs to speak the language. And what I mean by that is get beyond just HR terms and be able to talk in the business terms that are relevant to the CEO. And those are going to be the financial metrics. So you're able to talk to, as far as if there's a lot of the people issues, challenges, subject matter areas that you're able to talk to them in financial metrics, so that then you, now that you're all speaking a common language. And that only comes from really being a good student of the business and understanding what it is that is, that truly is important. And I can look back on my, I had a marketing career for a number of years in consumer products, and it was the same thing where marketing people would disconnect with senior management if they talked like marketing people. If you were able to now take that, adapt it to the senior leaders, and talk in the metrics that they can relate to, the relationship went much better.
You know, I think that's what we're really talking about here, right? It's about being that business partner as much as it is being the HR professional, and really understanding that the CEO is looking at you as a senior leader, and you have to understand the financials, you have to understand the operations, you have to understand the marketing, you have to understand all aspects of the business. Larry, as we continue down this path and talking about some of the personality traits, you know, one of the things that I know that, you know, HROs do a lot of is, or should be doing a lot of, is listening and really be, you know, being that trusted advisor and listening. But there's also an element of not always being so agreeable. And HR sometimes is what we call Switzerland, that neutral party. And sometimes in that CEO or that C-suite level, you can't be Switzerland. You have to have opinions and be someone who goes out and actually stakes the ground. How important was that to this survey?
It wasn't that important, David, but what we found was kind of a slightly different approach. We have a model. Take a look at the basic balance sheet. And the basic balance sheet is assets equals liabilities plus owner's equity. Well, the basic balance sheet is more than an accounting framework. It's also a psychological framework. There are certain people that gravitate towards the asset enhancement side of life. These are the positive, the extroverts. They tend to go into sales and marketing, and their value to the organization is they're building something. They love to build. They love to bring. They love adding. The other side is liability reduction. These are the pessimists. These are the ones who see risk in everything, and they try to minimize cost, minimize risk. These are your lawyers, there's your risk managers, and often your HR people who are going to be talking about your liability if you do this, your liability if you do that. Both sides of the basic accounting equation are important to a business. But what I find is that really good CHRO officers make sure that they straddle both sides of the basic accounting equation. The really, you know, kind of average, typical HR person tends to operate on the negative side of life and can give you 25 reasons why we shouldn't do something and what the risk is. The positive ones are going to operate on both sides. Here's the risks, here's the cost, but here's what it could do for us. And being able to look at problems from a basic balance sheet perspective would be useful so that you're perceived as looking at both sides of the issue. Another issue that I recommend, this tees off to in terms of what Patrick was saying, I recommend to our HR clients that they look at the balance sheet and income statement and look at the ratios and try to find one ratio, one business statistic that has absolutely, positively nothing to do with HR, and latch on to that and start asking questions about that. An example would be, David, I noticed that our R&D as a percentage of sales has been steady for the last 3 years, but our major competitor, R&D as a percentage of sales, is going up. What's the implications of that for our business? That has nothing to do with HR. It has everything to do with the future of the business. And that helps blur the lines between HR and the core business. If you bother to go through the numbers and pick on something that you want to focus on to create the image that you're a business person first who happens to be in the HR function.
You know, it's an interesting point, right, that really what we're talking about is not HR in terms of the traditional HR, and that individuals have to truly understand that this is a bigger picture. This is about the strength and weaknesses of an organization, how you as a business leader in the chief human resource officer role still have to play an important role of that. And we're going to talk about some practical examples of that when we come back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. I want to thank all our listeners from our new state out in the West, California. We have some people now in California listening. We're very excited to have them on board. We're now broadcasting over 33 states overall, so that's pretty good. We're pretty happy about that here at the HR Power Hour. We don't actually know where the radio station broadcasts. My producer tells me that it broadcasts worldwide, but I can only go by the HR, powerhour.com, and our sponsors are very happy. So anyways, we're getting back to our guest today, Larry Steibel, CEO and co-founder of Steibel Peabody, Patrick Lynch, president of the Frontier Group, and we're very excited about the opportunity today to talk to them about some amazing research they've done in regards to CHROs, your roadmap to move from head of HR to also being your CEO's valued, trusted business advisor. You know, Pat, as we've talked about this today, one of the things that I've learned really quickly in listening to this is the fact that HR professionals don't necessarily right away get that they have to do this, and that a lot don't, unfortunately. But what we're trying to do is provide a roadmap for them of where they can go from where they are in their career currently to be successful and get to this type of role as a valued business advisor. What are some of the specific steps that you can recommend from the research and your experience for HR leaders to start with and start learning in terms of getting to become a valued business advisor?
Well, Dave, my advice based on the interviews that I have is first and foremost, is that you need to understand the business that you're in the greater context. Understanding the HR, as far as department, you know, the responsibilities, what all the specifics in terms of being an effective HR leader. Yes, that's a given. But now you really need to know all of the key drivers that go into moving the business forward, so that now you're seen more as a strategist rather than a functional head. Another key thing, and we talked this in an earlier segment, is to be able to speak the language of the CEO. And a lot of times it all gets down to, you know, as far as metrics, that you're able to understand, here are all the key drivers that move the organization forward. And in this day and age, it's a great opportunity for HR leaders to to be able to speak that language, because there's so many great firms out there that are helping them with HR analytic consulting. I'm familiar with several here in the Atlanta area where they come in, they come in and really do a deep dive on all of the analytics around an organization, show where the opportunities are, the cost savings, the growth initiatives, all based on data. And you, an HR, CHRO leader that goes into the C-suite armed with this kind of information will definitely earn that quote-unquote seat at the table.
You know, in the article, Larry, there's a quote from a CEO that says, "The number one characteristic that is important to me, curiosity to learn beyond one's comfort zone." You mentioned that at the beginning of the show. Is that also a really good tip? And how does one become more curious in an appropriate way when they're dealing with going from a HR business partner to a business advisor?
Well, let me give you a really very concrete example, David. I was president of the Boston Human Resources Association, and we developed a relationship with the Financial Executives International in Boston, where members of one association could attend other association meetings for no additional fee and just pay the member rate. And I thought it would be good for both groups to blur the lines. And once we got this program going, we had a number of CFOs who would sign up for our HR dinners because they wanted to learn more about HR, because some of them had HR are reporting to them and they really didn't understand anything about HR. So they were curious about learning about HR. So it worked from the finance people going into HR to go to the... On the other hand, we never, ever had a single HR person from the Boston Human Resources Association sign up for a Financial Executives International dinner. And I thought that was very sad. And that said negative things about HR to me. If you want to sort of advance your career, mix it up. Blur the lines. If you live in a city that has an accounting association or a finance association, manufacturing association, go to some of those association functions. Mix it up. Learn what's important to them. And also be perceived as somebody who's mixing it up. Don't just go to HR groups and hang out with HR people and look at the world from an HR point of view. That's not going to get you to the valued business advisor role. It's going to make you feel warm and comfortable as an HR person, but it's not going to get you anywhere.
You know, I think that's a really good point, right? You know, open up your mind, get outside your comfort zone. I do see a lot of HR professionals kind of staying within their little circle, a little group. And look, it's good to share HR knowledge and to gather that, but that's not going to get you to this level, and it's not going to get you to that. You know, one of the other things that you mentioned in the article, it's really about the chief human resource officer said of her CEO, the CEO is keenly interested in people's capabilities and their development. He really immerses himself. He values different perspectives. You know, how does a chief resource officer go speak to the CEO of becoming this individual? How do they have that conversation? How does that start? Larry, I'll start with you, and then I'll ask Pat the same question as in terms of what you have perceived and done.
I find in my coaching work with CHROs, we have a kind of a useful framework, and that is you go in wearing two hats. I've actually bought two baseball hats for my clients, and one we sewed in the title Chief Human Resources, and then the other is we sew in the name of the company. And you know, the person walks into the meeting with the CEO and says, "I'm wearing two hats when I speak, but let me be clear about which hat I'm speaking to you from." And so she first puts on her HR hat and says, from an HR perspective, this is what I have to say as chief HRO officer. And then she takes that off, and then she puts on her company hat and say, however, as an officer of the company and as a member of your staff and looking at what the company needs as a whole, this is what I would say. And I find the wearing two hats framework is a kind of a useful structure to engage in conversations, because there may be times when doing things, quote-unquote, correctly from an HR point of view may be suboptimal in terms of bringing long-term shareholder value to the equity owners.
Pat, what are some of the things that you see in regards to this area where a where the chief human resource officer wants to become this level and needs to have that conversation with the CEO?
Best advice that I give them is pick your opportunities. It's not going to happen overnight. It's a position that's earned, and it's earned through being able to show expertise. And so get out, and we've talked this earlier about being curious, get very fluent and knowledgeable in the broader business context. And then when the opportunity is there on a specific agenda topic, that you speak out, raise your hand, make your opinion heard, and then be able to just get comfortable in that setting so that you can get yourself beyond that, only talking about HR issues. It definitely takes practice, but in the end, it'll pay off.
We're talking with Larry Steibel and Patrick Lynch. Larry is the CEO and co-founder of Steibel Peabody. Pat Lynch is the president of the Frontier Group. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB. We'll be right back with a wrap-up of why CHROs, your roadmap to move from head of HR to also being your CEO's valued business partner. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB, 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAKorea.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Remember, you can listen to this show right after at HRPowerHour.com. You can also click on the links to our guests, and we'll also have the article link we're talking about. And we're talking about CHROs, your roadmap to move from head of HR to also being your CEO's valued business partner. I'm David Shulo, your host. We've had a great show today. Larry and Pat, I want to thank you both for being on the show. Pat, as we get ready to wrap up here, what is one key thing that you want to make sure that CHROs, HR leaders out there, really remember or learn from today?
This all began where Larry and I were working on this whole concept of the journey and how to go from a functional head to a strategic advisor. And the takeaway I see is that be a student of the business. From that, gain enough insight that you now can contribute and provide value on the overall strategy of where the organization is going. When you are at that point, you now have moved beyond just being a functional head, knowledgeable in HR topics, to someone who can advise the CEO on all of the key drivers on where to take the organization.
Larry, as I said, as we're wrapping up here, and sure, again, we're talking about the CHRO's, your roadmap to move from head of HR to also being your CEO's valued business advisor. What's the one takeaway people should get from today?
I think the one takeaway would be this. Many of the HR people I've worked with over the years have a core professional identity. And the identity is this: attracting, retaining, and motivating people is really what it's all about in terms of a successful, functioning business. And that's what I do as HR. So what I do is really, really core to the business, incredibly important. And therefore, the business centers around what I do. Most HR people that I talk with and have worked with, that's their core professional identity. And that will get you a role as specialist in HR and perceived as a valued HR specialist. If, however, you want to transition to being a valued business advisor to your CEO, that's a different matter entirely. You have to be willing to change your core identity from what I just said to saying, I am a business professional, and my core responsibility is to the business. Now, by the way, I bring HR expertise to it, but primarily I'm a business professional. And that's the rare HR person who's willing to do that.
You gentlemen have been great today, and again, we will have a link right to your article at Psychology Today. Again, we're talking about CHRO's, your roadmap to move from head of HR to also being the CEO's valued business partner. You guys have been great today. Again, we're talking with Larry Steibel, CEO, co-founder of Steibel Peabody, and Patrick Lynch, president of the Frontier Group. I really appreciate both of you being on the show.
Thank you so much, David.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez at VeralDana. Is your company instituting best practices in conducting and documenting performance reviews? Does the review include not only the employee's competencies as they relate to the job in which he or she is performing, but also include review of the employee's interpersonal relationships with coworkers or the public? Too often, reviews show that an employee is good at his or her job, but fail to include any discussion about the employee lacking in his or her ability to communicate or appropriately interact with each other. A good performance evaluation will include both. A manager's failure to coach or otherwise advise an employee of this area for improvement is detrimental to both the employee's growth and the company's growth. Contact a member of VeralDana's Labor and Employment Practice Group to discuss documenting performance reviews.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.